Well, good morning again. It's good to see everybody. Sometimes I feel like I talk about myself too much when I preach, but I know myself better than I know anybody else, so it's easier to talk about my struggles and be honest, because I think it's sometimes things we all go through in life. And as most of y'all know, my wife and I are entering into a new season in life. And it's slightly terrifying. It's majorly terrifying. Something that God has called her and I to do before her and I ever met, separately. And then when we came together and were talking and getting to know each other and eating barbecue in Ohio and talking about just our lives and what we want out of our life, we both expressed the desire for ministry. And at the time, I was a long ways from where I needed to be with the Lord, and I would say that she probably was too. And over the last 4 years, God has molded us, and God has crushed us, and God has built us up, and God has crushed us, and God has built us up, and He has crushed us some more. And it's in that crushing period where the call of God is often presented the loudest. It's in that crushing whenever you have to decide who you're going to be. How are you going to handle that crushing? Because crushing is hard. Crushing hurts. Crushing is bitter, and it can make a person bitter, and it can make a person angry, and it can make a person go, God, why me? And it can make a person say, God, if you're so great, if you're so holy, if you're so powerful, if you're so omnipotent, if you're here and you're everywhere and you created the earth with a voice and you rose Lazarus from the grave and you healed the blind man and you opened the deaf ears, if you can do all of that, why didn't you stop this from happening? Why did you allow this? Because in the book of Job, it says that Satan went to God, or God called Satan to him to give an account of what he had been doing. And God said, or Satan said, consider your servant Job. Or God said, have you considered my servant Job? He called out his best guy. He said, he's blameless. And as we say in Texas, the cowboy version is, Satan said, watch, I can make him curse you. And God said, okay, you can do whatever you want to him, but you can't kill him. And when I first began to understand, wait a minute, God gave permission for Job to lose everything? God gave permission for Job's children to die? That messed with me a little bit. Because then I began to go, wait a minute, if God gave permission for Job's children to die and to lose everything, which he was one of the wealthiest, extremely, extremely wealthy before, why would God allow, that would mean that God allowed my dad to die in a work accident. That would mean that God allowed us to have 3 miscarriages. To lose 3 babies. That means God would allow for me to have emergency back surgery, for my wife to have an emergency C-section, for our son to be born deaf, and us have to go through all of the stuff. It's a lot of stuff with the surgeries. And so sometimes you can't help but think, if we're going to be real, God, why? Why? Because see, after my dad died, I was 18 years old. He was my best friend. He was my best friend. I never one time had a fight with my father. Never. Never. I never one time, I don't really even remember being mad at him. Now, he got mad at me a couple times. Certainly not warranted. Not warranted. Y'all are so lucky y'all didn't know me as a kid. Y'all pray for my mother. It's amazing she doesn't have gray hair. But I remember sitting on the edge of the bed one night. This was several months after he had passed. And I was in my senior year of high school. And of course, I'm hurting and I'm struggling. And I have no idea. And I'm trying to maintain faith, but I really didn't know how. And I said, God, I sat on the edge of my bed. I had my Bible in my hand, and I was just thumbing through it. And I said, God, if you allowed this to happen, I think I can do better on my own. And I closed my Bible, and I threw it in my dresser drawer and left it. And I was serious, man. I thought, I'm 6'3". At the time, I was not as healthy as I am now. I thought, I'm big enough. I'm bad enough. I can just take care of myself. And as I walked through that and found myself struggling and hurting, and it got to a point where I just, man, if I could have got a hold of a bottle of alcohol, life would have been okay. Because I thought, I'll just stop the pain for a little bit. If it's just 5 minutes without this pain, that's great. But you see, that crushing had to happen. Because the only thing that breaks pride is crushing. That's why the Bible says that pride goeth before a fall. Because when you, that pride has to break. God can't do anything with pride. You can pray all day long. You can be here 3 times a day on Sunday, 4 times on a Wednesday. You can pray 3 hours every morning, 6 hours every night. You can fast until you can fit through a keyhole. You're so skinny. But if your heart's full of pride, you're wasting your time. Go get a steak. You're wasting your time. But see, it's the humility that comes with that crushing and with that breaking, and it's figuring out, God, I'm not enough. I'm not enough. This last weekend, I was at a motorcycle club Christmas party. And they had the prospects, which are the guys that are looking into joining the club. It's a process. And they had them all lined up, and they're talking to them about what they're struggling with, you know, what sins they're struggling with. And I'm just standing back watching. I'm watching. And I'm praying, trying to figure out, Lord, is this a door that has been opened? Is this a door I walk through? And I'm just listening, and I'm just watching, and I'm looking, and I'm thinking, God, boy, some of these guys have had it, got it a whole lot worse than I do. But you see, some of them, they've been crushed as well, because they'll talk about, well, I was so prideful in this and that, and then this happened. You know, the last 4 years, as I mentioned, Heather and I have been through a period of refining fire, of God's refining fire, and it has hurt. Oh, it has hurt. And I'm sure she would agree that it has been a very challenging period. But I stand before you as a man who was not what he once was. I am not who I used to be. I'm not who I was last year, and I'm not who I was the year before, and I won't be who I am in a year that I am right now. Because as we go from glory to glory to glory. You know, as Heather and I are walking into this new season, into this new calling, God had to crush us. God had to strip everything away where we could say, God, I truly depend on you. It's so easy to say, right? Isn't it easy to say, God, I depend on you when your bills are paid and your refrigerator's full and everything's happy and your kids are healthy and your car's running good? And that's really easy to say. Oftentimes, that's when we say it the least because we don't feel like we need him so much. But it's in the periods where you're going, God, I just had back surgery. I'm on a 10-pound weight limit. How on earth am I supposed to work? And then there's times where God brings people like the Bunkies. We've been here a month. The Bunkies call me and say, hey, I want to take a day off and just come help you. And I'm prideful, and I wanted to say, no, it's okay, I'll figure it out, because I don't like accepting help. But Heather poked my incision. Not really. Not really. I just knew I didn't have a choice. And so I that was a little, that was a crushing experience for me. Al doesn't know that, but that crushed me a little bit to have to accept that help. And to have to say, God, I'm gonna be super vulnerable right here, babe. I'm sorry. The day my son, the day Jax was born, I was sitting in the hospital room in that insanely comfortable recliner they put in the corner. Somebody needs to sponsor that hospital new chairs. And I'm holding him and I'm looking at him and he's so cute and he's so little. And you know, that was at that time we didn't know he was deaf, which somehow seemed to make him cuter with those little hearing aids on. But I'm looking at him and the thought comes to me, you have $357 in your bank account. That was it. No way of bringing more in because I couldn't work. No way of getting anything else. And the Holy Spirit helped me push that out, and I just said, I don't care. God's got it. I'm just going to enjoy my son. And in this period that we are now entering in, God has called us to sell our business, which is a very uncomfortable place to be, to sell your livelihood. It's very uncomfortable. And I'm excited for it because I'm excited for what God has, and I'm excited for the calling that God has on Heather and I's life, and I'm excited to see the things that God has told me in secret come to pass. I'm excited to see the vision that I had 10 years ago come to pass. And I'm excited to begin to walk in that calling, because when you walk in the calling, it doesn't mean life is easier, but you have peace in it. And that accounts for a whole lot. It makes not having all the money in the world a little bit easier when you're not anxious about it. You know, but there are still times, don't get me wrong, I woke up Friday, the moment my eyes opened, the thought in my mind was, the promises of God can't come true for you. The moment I opened my eyes, that is what I heard. It's a rude awakening. And that morning, man, I was struggling. I was down. I thought of every reason for Heather and the kids to leave the house so that I could have a moment to just weep before the Lord. And whenever they went somewhere, I don't know where they went. They went somewhere, and when they left, I had worship music going, and I just broke in the floor, and I said, God, I choose to trust you over this thought. I choose to trust what you've told me in your word, but also what you've told me in secret. I choose to trust the calling that you have. You see, we're all called to something. We all have a calling. Aaron and Denise's calling is to lead this church and to lead this body. Heather and I's calling is to start a ministry to go out and help those who have been affected by storms and to share the hope of Jesus. And some callings are feel ginormous and like there's absolutely no way that I can do this. I know Aaron's calling felt that whenever he realized, wait a minute, God's calling me to start a church. That's scary. We're not, it's so easy to look at the person on the platform preaching or to look at the pastor or to look at the pastor's wife and go, man, they're in such a high position. There's no way they struggle in life. We struggle more. I promise. I promise. I remember as a teenager, as early 20s, I was struggling in sin, but I didn't want to be struggling in sin, but I couldn't break it. Because I didn't know how. I didn't understand what Jesus had done on the cross. And I found myself buried in alcohol bottles. I found myself in nicotine. I found myself working for a ministry so low in sin I'd have missed the rapture had it come. And I remember I was walking through Lowe's. I don't know where I was. I was walking through Lowe's and I was crying walking through Lowe's. Which is a weird place to cry. And it wasn't because of the prices. And I was talking to my mom, and I wanted so desperately to tell her what I was struggling with, but she had done her best to raise us to not get in that mess. And I just couldn't bring myself to do it. But I said, Mom, why is it so hard for me? I said, I don't see other people struggling like this. And she said, those with the calling seem to struggle the most. And that has been spoken over me my entire life. And I'm not being prideful in this. This is just my story. But I want to tell you that all of you young people here and those sitting back there, I don't know how old you are. I know how old one of you are. Because he belongs to me. But God's got a call for you. And you have a choice that you have to make. Are you going to answer that call? And are you going to be willing to humble yourself to go through that crushing process so that you can learn to hear the voice of God? Because sometimes when everything's good, we don't sit down and shut up long enough to hear the voice of God. We have to hit the rock bottom for us to go, okay, God, I'm listening. I had to do that this year because in the beginning of the year, God sent somebody, called me and said, hey, my name is so-and-so. I'm interested in buying your tree company. And I said, mind your own business. I'm not selling. But if I had have took 30 seconds to say, God, is this you? You know how much trouble that would have saved me this year? I wouldn't have stuck a chipper through the side of a house probably. But it's going through that molding and it's going through figuring out who God is and it's going through understanding in the call of God on your life of, okay, God, I'm called to something greater than me. I don't care if you sit here and you say, I've not been called to a thing. Well, if you're married, you've been called to something. That's right. If you're a parent, you've been called to something else. And if you're single, you want me to tell you what you've been called to? You're going to hate it. Oh, it's right here. My Bible's open to it. It's in 1 Peter. Here's what you've been called to. If you don't feel like you've been called to anything, but he which has called you is holy. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. That's 1 Peter 14, 15, 16. That's what you've been called to. That's your first calling. Nothing else matters until you figure that out. Nothing else matters. Because see, if you say, and I'm preaching right here for a reason, mostly because this crowd's past that. If you say, okay, God, how old are you? Yeah, you. I don't know why you turn around, nobody behind you. 16? Taylor, how old are you? How old are you? How old are you? What about y'all two? How long have y'all been dating? You're married? 6 months. Congratulations. That's awesome. I got an alarm telling me to shut up. So your first calling, y'all's first calling as a Christian, and I don't care if you get saved at 5, this is still your first calling. Because this is what you have to get figured out. Now, parents, your 5-year-old can't do this on their own. Your 10-year-old can't do this on your own. Your 15-year-old can't do this on your own. Your 18-year-old can't do this on their own. They have to watch you. So if you, as a parent, are not answering the first calling, how does your sons or your daughters answer their first calling? And I'm not here to try to make you feel bad, because I didn't get this until about 2 years ago. Linda got to be a part of that experience. I didn't understand holiness. I drank. I cussed. But I said, man, I love Jesus. And I did. But you see, somebody sent me a video on holiness, and it was a pastor in Africa. It was, I think the interview was in the late 80s. God was using him mightily. I mean, people were being healed left and right. People were being set free. God was using him in insane, extraordinary ways. And one day he went to prayer and he said he felt like he could have prayed forever and God would have never came down. And he knew in his spirit God was angry with him. And so finally through prayer he said, God, what is the matter? What is going on? And God said, you're not living holy. And he said, but God, look at all this that I'm doing, that you're doing through me. And God said, remember when I said, depart from me, for I never knew you? And he's going, what? And he says, remember where the Bible says that, but God, we cast out demons in your name. And he said, well, what is it? And he says, well, you know, this is what God says to him. And I'm paraphrasing. He says, you know, whenever that lady's up there singing and you're supposed to be worshiping me, you're having lustful thoughts about her. You're doing this, you're prideful, you're this. And God just begins to unroll all this stuff in this guy's life. And it shook me to my core, because I realized there's more to this walk than just saying, Jesus, come into my life, I believe you died on my sins, and that's it. That doesn't cut it. You ain't getting there if that's all you're doing. You see, the call that you have to answer is the call for your soul. But it's more than that. It goes deeper than that, because you have to figure out this holiness part. And I'm not trying to preach legalism. I don't care, ladies, how high and how many bobby pins are in your hair, or if I can see your ankles under your dress. Some of the older ones will get that. You younger people have no idea what I'm talking about. Because there was a period where holiness was preached so heavy and it became so legalistic that nobody wanted anything to do with it anymore, so they ran as far the opposite way as they could. But see, if you want to learn the call of God for your life and you want to begin to be able to enter into that call of God in your life, this is step number one. This is it. Because what will happen is, if you try to skip this part, you will fall. See, God can still use you, and it amazes me how God still used me in those times. It blows my mind when I look back and go, God, how on earth could you have done a single thing with me? His grace. His grace. But there will be a day when that trumpet sounds, or God forbids, you don't wake up the next day, that you will stand before God and you will give an account. You know, when I struggled severely with anxiety as early 20s and teenager, severely, I'd wake up most mornings, I'd start my day by throwing up. Y'all know what took care of my anxiety? I got right with Jesus. I quit doing this nonsense. I quit going to the bars. I quit chasing people. I quit doing things that I shouldn't be doing. I quit drinking. I quit going places I shouldn't. And it's like all of a sudden, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. How do you pray for peace but continually live in sin? That doesn't make sense. That's an oxymoron. It doesn't work that way. And I'm not talking about, see, there's a difference in willingly living in sin, okay, and struggling with sin, right? I've done both. You see, when you willingly live in sin, you know what you're doing is wrong, but you don't care enough to stop. Here's what you say. All I have to do is say, Jesus, forgive me. Doesn't matter what I do. It's that cheesy kind of grace. It's that cheap kind of grace. The blood that my Jesus died for isn't for cheap grace. It's not to be abused. You hurt the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit in that. Because God wants you to have everything your heart desires. You don't believe me? He said so. Delight yourself in me and I will give you the desires of your heart. That's what God desires for you. He desires that none should perish. But if we don't figure out, if we don't say, God,
could you try again?
Thank you, Siri. The voice of the Holy Spirit speaks in many ways. If we don't say, God, I'm coming before you humbly, and I need you to show me the things that aren't right. I didn't know I was so prideful. I had no idea. You know one of the biggest areas I was prideful in? That was being the man in my house and providing for my family. Because I tell Heather all the time, babe, I'm sorry I'm not a better provider. I'm sorry I can't do more. I'm sorry I'm not bringing in more. I'm sorry I'm not this and that. And in this breaking of struggling all the time, God finally got through. You're not the provider. I am. I'm the provider. God's the provider. I'm just the gopher he uses it to go get it. And even that's still something, but see, God had to show me that so then I can step into the next season of our calling. Because with this next season, God brings it or we don't get it. Right? So we have to learn to have faith. We had to learn to have faith to say, God, it's you and it's only you because I'm nothing. I'm nothing. I used to think I was somebody. Man, I was prideful. I was arrogant. I was self-righteous. I was so self-righteous. And I thank God that I hit rock bottom. I thank God that I hit rock bottom. Because had I not hit rock bottom, I would have never looked up. And I would have never said, you know, I used to sit, this was very shortly before Heather and I got or met. I would sit in my living room and I would drink a bottle of whiskey and I would weep watching YouTube sermons because I was so broken. And I knew, I understood enough to know that God could fix it, but I didn't understand my role in it. That's a weird place to be. I would weep and I would weep. And I finally got to where I started listening to Jimmy Swaggart's radio station because my mom listened to him growing up, and I hated it. Hated it. Oh, that woman woke me up more times at 5 o'clock in the morning because she had Jimmy Swaggart singing at 300 octaves in the living room. It's amazing how high that TV volume can go. But I knew it was truth. I didn't care to hear it when I was y'all's age. It had to take me to rock bottom. But if you'll get this now and if you'll figure out I'm nobody without God, you won't have to go this. You don't have to fall. You don't have to go into sin. You don't have to go into bondage. You don't have to live that way. That's a choice. It's compromise. It starts with one thing, and then it leads to another, and then it leads to another. I can show you the place I was standing at 13, 14 years old where I compromised that I would cuss. I can show you where I was standing. I can put my feet in the same spots. And I said to myself, this is what I said. I said, hell's not a cuss word, it's a place. That was my compromise. In 6 months' time, I could cuss better than any sailor you ever met. Do you know how hard it was to quit that habit? Had I never done that, I'd have never had to quit it. Had I never picked up that first bottle of alcohol, I'd have never had to set it down. Had I never put that first pinch of snuff in, I'd have never had to throw that can out the window after I met Heather and she says, oh, you dip, my son wouldn't like that. You don't have to go through it. If you answer the call, you don't have to go through it. We've all been called. We all have a calling. Will you come play? We all have something that we have to say yes to. It's not too late. If you've said yes to the wrong thing for the wrong time, for the long time, it's not too late to say no. Amen. The only time it becomes too late is when that trumpet sounds or when you die. At that point, your life is over. And unfortunately, there is a place called hell. And if you don't answer the calling, the pleading, when Jesus died on that cross, it wasn't for fun. He begged God in the garden. He sweat drops of blood. God, if there's any other way to do this, let this cup pass by me. But here's the important part. God, not your will. Not my will, but yours. Sometimes we have to go through things. You see, that refining fire that we've been through, which is why our ministry is called Refiner's Fire Ministry, because it was birthed out of this refining. It started when I said, God, when I was on my face in my living room weeping before a holy God as he showed me how prideful I was. I said, God created me holiness. I'm not perfect. There's still some things I'm working out on the inside. But that started this transition, that started this movement. And if you're scared, that's okay. The Prince of Peace wants to do it with you. You see, fear, it's real. We've struggled with the spirit of fear in our home for quite some time. There was a time when it was just a few days before my back surgery, and I would hurt so bad I couldn't stand up past this. Some of y'all saw me hobbling around. And I all night long, all I would do is crawl up the stairs, sit in either an ice bath or a hot bath. I would try one. Sometimes it would make it spasm worse. I'd hurry up and switch to the other one. That's all I would do all night long. And I would pray, God, I know you can take this away. God, I know you can take this away. But there was one night in particular. I'll never forget this. I had gotten out of the bath, and I'm walking down the steps, more like this. And every step I took felt like I was stepping into something. You know how like you step into a pool, you feel the water coming up your legs? Every step I took, I felt fear rising up my body. More fear. More fear. And when I got to that, all the way down, I was enclosed in a spirit of fear. I could feel it. I could touch it. It felt like I could cut it. And I was in so much pain. I didn't have the mental capacity. I mean, I've been 6 days without sleep. I couldn't have read that sign behind me. I was hurting so bad. And the fear, and I'm walking around the living room, and I'm praying, and I'm trying to rebuke this thing, and I'm trying to take control over this, because God has given us the authority to control it. And I'm quoting scripture. Scripture's coming to my mind. If you don't get in the Word, you won't have scripture to fight whenever you have to fight. Because in that moment, I did not have the ability to go to my Bible and get scripture. I couldn't do it. It was a physical impossibility for me in that moment. So I had to rely on what was written on my heart. Does that make sense? And as I took authority over this, and it left, and I was weary. I was hurting. I was hurting emotionally. I was hurting spiritually. I was trying not to let my mind go back to God, why? And trying to leave my mind on God, it doesn't matter. I trust you. Which sometimes is really hard to do. But the reality of the why, I'm going to answer the why for you. So you never have to ask it again. It doesn't matter. That's your answer. It doesn't matter. Because either you trust God to be enough that you don't need an answer, or you don't. That's what it boils down to. Do you trust God enough to go, God, it doesn't matter why, my heart, my faith, my mind, my hope, my spirit, my joy, my strength, my everything is in you. It's all in or it's none in. I can't have my hope in him and my joy in the world. Can't have my joy in him and my hope in the world. It doesn't work. I've tried it. You're in or you're out. You're hot or you're cold. And you'll go through seasons where you don't always feel hot, right? There's times where, like Friday. Oh, I wanted to call Aaron so bad and say, I can't do it. So bad. It was such a hard, long day. I mean, those words, I could just see them imprinted in my mind. God won't fulfill your promises. And so you get a choice to believe that or to say, God, I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. And I hold tight to your promises that are yes and amen. Amen. Some of y'all are going through a living hell. And I'm sorry. But I won't apologize for what God's bringing you through, because God is bringing you to glory, to glory, to glory. And the testimony that you're going to have on the other side of this is going to bring somebody else through it. Amen. Things that my wife has been through, the testimony from it brings other people through it. the things that I have been through, the loss of my dad. You know how many youth students I've been able to talk to that have lost a parent? And I can say, man, I understand. No, truly, I understand. Because it wasn't like he was sick and we knew he was going to die. We had steaks thawing on the counter to grill when he got home. He just never got home. I don't know what God is calling you to. I can tell you that some of y'all, God is calling you to things that scare you. Some of y'all, he's just calling to do more in the church. Some of y'all, he's calling to worship a little differently. Some of y'all, he's calling to press in harder at home. Some of y'all, he's calling to love your wife better. Some of y'all, he's calling to leave friends behind, to leave girlfriends behind, boyfriends behind. Guys, it doesn't matter how pretty she is. If she's not who God picked out for you, leave her behind, because she'll drag you down. I promise you won't lift her up. She will drag you down. You can't change them, but there is one who can. And all you can do is point them to him. That's it. That's all I can do right now is point you to the one who can change it all. Who can set free what's broken. Whatever the bondage is, if it's fear, if it's lust, if it's anxiety, if it's greed, if it's anger, if it's gossip, if it's comparing, if it's compromising, he can set it free. But there is a but to this. He can't do what you don't allow him access to do. So the first step to it, the first step to answering the call, is to ask Jesus into your heart. I would be so wrong if I just assumed that everybody here had done that. It's a really easy assumption to make whenever you see the same people in church. But I promise you, on the day that the rapture sounds, the horn sounds, trumpet sounds, if it's on a Sunday, there will still be people sitting in the pews, and there will still be pastors preaching sermons. God's making the call. You have to answer it. If you haven't answered that call, if you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the Lord of your life, maybe you've backslidden, maybe at one time you had, I always hate saying this, if you grew up in a church that baptized as a baby and said that you were good, that doesn't do it. I'm sorry. That doesn't mean you're saved. There's only one thing. There's only one way. And that's what Jesus did on that cross. He did it for you, so that you wouldn't have to walk through life weary and alone. He wants to walk with you. So if you haven't, I'm just going to ask that you're bold. A lot of people, you know, they'd say bow your head and close your eyes and nobody looking around. That's kind of, for me, I struggle with that, because this is the greatest decision of your life. So be bold. If this is something you need to do, if you need to ask Jesus into your life, will you please just raise up a hand or stand or holler or do something? Something. Okay. If you just need to come here and say, God, I'm pushing past the fear of my calling. These altars are open. You can stay as long as you want, because there's prayer tonight, right? So you can stay all the way till prayer. But please don't sit there and think, oh my goodness, somebody might judge me. Who cares? God's calling them to something too. Husbands, you're being called to step into a higher realm of fatherly priesthood at your home, whether you're a father or not. Wives, you're being called to step into a higher calling of motherhood in being wives. Kids, you're being called. So as they sing and do whatever Chris feels led to do, will y'all just spend some time with Jesus? Just spend some time with him. That's what he really wants. That's why he came to earth, because he wanted to spend time. Don't be ashamed and don't be afraid. I'm going to pray, and when I'm done, I'm done. But just come up here. Father God, I thank you for your son. I thank you for the blood. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for Calvary. I thank you for everything that you have bestowed upon us. I thank you for thinking enough of us to call us to something, to give us purpose, to give us a life. Lord, I pray that as callings are put forth today, whether that's into ministry, Father, whether that's whatever that calling is, Lord, that boldness would accompany the calling. And that those that are being called would rise boldly. Lord, we thank you for it.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.